Blog Talk Radio.
This is G for Yourself. Now, here's Gio.
Hi, and welcome to G for Yourself. We're here to support the good chi, or essential energy, toward the living of your genuine life. And I'm glad you're with us today, wherever you happen to be in the world at this moment. Our guest on this program is a world-renowned intuitive. She's an author and spiritual teacher who has made a big part of her work supporting people in doing spiritual work on their own. And we'll be talking about that and more in just a little bit. Tori Hartman was a child when she realized she had psychic abilities. She's the author of Chakra Wisdom Oracle, How to Read the Cards for Yourself and Others. Well, Tori, you were born and raised in New York's Greenwich Village in the 1960s, a pretty good time to be in that part of the world, the environment being pretty much anything goes, and self-expression was very much in the limelight and was rarely questioned. I wonder, was it like for a kid growing up in Greenwich Village in the 60s?
Well, you have about 7 hours. I mean, I think that for all of us, wherever we're from, forms our thought process and how we process events in our lives and how we are in the world. So I think that, you know, what I've noticed is because I grew up in Greenwich Village, I mean, I grew up in kind of a crazy time, and I think as a result, because I grew up there, I didn't have parents, by the way, who worked, sorry, I'm closing my front door, who didn't work 9 to 5. So I never understood the idea of a job. Like, that just never made sense to me. Like, and so I have friends that laugh at me because I just, you know, they'll call me, and this has been my whole life, they'll call me and they'll say, what are you doing? I'll say, well, I'm thinking about myself. So I think that, and they'll be like, gosh, I wish I had your job. And you too can think about me. So I think that, you know, energetically, I always found ways to make my creative energy part of my purpose and part of my work. And also, I think growing up in that time, while it was fun and, you know, in some ways very sexy and very kind of like, ooh, you know, we had just come off some of the very cool 50s, you know, when everybody had, you know, cigarette holders, and people were very sophisticated in some ways in New York. And I think that the village was still the place to come when you didn't know quite where you fit. And it was sort of like, in a funny way, like high school performing arts, you know, where all of the creative people gathered. So it was a time when, in many ways, and I say this all the time when I'm working with people, our wounding becomes our greatest gift. And I can tell you when I do readings with people, and, you know, I don't do readings as much anymore, Dawn. I do more teaching, because I think we all have our own answers, and I do more facilitating and guiding people to find their answers. And as a result, I think that the single biggest thing that I have seen with people today, and this is mostly people over 40 now, I'm seeing this a lot, where people are saying, I want to write my book, I want to create my life, I want to do my expression, and what my work is to really bring them back to finding their own answer and knowing that their wounding, whatever they found scarring growing up, actually is their greatest gift and how to find that. So that's in a nutshell. And of course, then in my 20s, I had a near-death experience, and that was what brought the angels and guides forward to, you know, to create the Chakra Wisdom Oracle cards, which, you know, I went on to self-publish because nobody wanted it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I knew it was important, and I spent my life savings. It was the dumbest thing anybody could ever do.
Wow.
But don't tell them not to. You know, it's the... It's the thing with most parents. I say to people, you know, the kid that's making you the most crazy will make you the most proud. And, you know, I did the dumbest thing. I spent my life savings.
Well, is that, can we call that an intuitive hit? Were you intuitive, or did you just throw caution to the wind and say, I'm going to go for it?
No, it was definitely a calling. It was a very powerful calling. It wasn't, I think what happens is, and I'm glad you're asking that, because there is a definite difference between a thing of, I'm going to invest this money and make all this money, and I know this is super important, and at the end of the day, if I spent my last, and I had $100,000 savings, and I spent $95,000 to have it printed and made, and, you know, get everything made in China, blah, 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 and, you know, my intention was at the end of the day, if I'm sitting here with a deck that I know is important, then that's enough for me. And maybe I'll have wasted all my money, but I know it's important. And so what it was about was I wanted the deck. I wanted it. And then I found out once I got it, and by the way, I want to interject, because I think this is important, John, with what you just stated. You know, there's a difference between friends of mine who call me and say, you know, they've got some MLM to sell me where, you know, I'm going to make $10,000 in 5 minutes, you know, versus a knowing. And I always say there's a difference between beliefs and knowing. And so when people come to me and they say, oh, I want to get rid of this belief, and I'm like, okay. And they're like, what? I said, because a belief always has an againstness energy. If you change a belief, you're just putting another belief on it. It's like putting a Band-Aid on a broken leg. And just to give you an example of the difference is that years ago, I was sitting at a bar. I was with a bunch of friends. I was in my 20s, and now the guy's very famous, but at the time he wasn't. He was one of the crew that we all hung out with. And he said to me, do you really believe this bleep that you do? And it was, you know, he was referring to the psychic work at the time. Mm-hmm. And I said, nope, I don't believe it at all. I know it. And it was in that moment that I really got the difference between belief and knowing. Because belief has an againstness energy. You're always going to argue when it comes to a belief. I believe that Hillary's better than Trump. I believe Trump is better than Hillary. So when you get into beliefs, there's always a fight. When you have a knowing, you can't argue with a knowing. I know this is right. How do you know? I just know. There's no way to, because it's a, it, and so going back to the full circle of what we're talking about, I knew that this deck was important.
Yeah.
I knew it was vital. And I took all my money and put it behind it. Now, when it was delivered and I had 10,000 decks, and of course it was like all over my neighborhood basically to deliver it, you know, I got storage. And then what happened from that moment was I recognized, when I went to put it on Amazon, Amazon was going to charge me more than I would make. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you know, what I paid and what I was giving them, I would lose a dollar on every sale. Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't sell it on Amazon. And it was just completely insane. And I turned around and I said, okay, what do I do? And something said, give it away free. And I knew that meant to put a free shuffler online, which I did. And with my last $5,000, I put up a website, and it was free. People could come and try the cards free, and they came. And one by one, people came, and they bought the deck, and they bought the deck, and they bought the deck some more. And the point I'm making is that when the deck sold, I suddenly, within 2.5 years, I'd sold almost all 10,000. And then I had a calling, and I said, I'm going to go to Europe, and I'm going to sell this in the UK. Well, I did. And I found a great publisher there, and when the Chakra Wisdom cards, the deck, actually has sold around 50,000 copies in 3 years now, and in 7 languages, it's going to be put into 2 more, and it has been fascinating because the goal was for me to make sure it helped people, and it has.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will I ever make back that money? I don't know. I really don't know. You know, I made some of it, obviously, but here's the point. I knew it was important that I do it, and you know, I think there was a, God, I can't think of his name right now, but I think it was David Mamet, or it was a famous director, and somebody said to him, what's the best thing about doing a hit movie? And he said, you get to do another one. And so for me, the best thing about doing The Deck was that I got to write The Toolkit, which had the original fables in it. And then people were writing me and said, but I want to go deeper. I see what this is. There's something here. What do I do? And I said, okay, I'm going to write How to Read the Cards for Yourself and Others, which is the book we're talking about today. And that book is absolutely, you know, when I tell you I'm going to make three nickels and a dime on it, you know, because it's so specific in how to read these cards. But at the same time, one of the reviews I got, John, was that somebody said, this is these are amazing techniques to learn to read these cards. And I personally do not believe that, I don't anymore read future readings. You know, I don't do prediction.
Right. Right.
I validate where people are, and I support them in their decisions. Because I think the biggest issue that we face today is facing personal invalidation everywhere we turn.
Well, you mentioned in the book that the cards don't tell you things. They're not predictors. They're tools to take you through your own process. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think any deck really is not a predictor. A deck is like a picture on the wall, and you interpret it. You know, it's not like, you know what I mean? You're not going to look at, like, a picture, and it's going to tell you something. What happens is how we relate to the issue is the issue. So it's the meaning we make of that card. And what I believe is very important is teaching people how to work with their own intuition, like knowing the difference between your brain and your intuition.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest thing I train people just to recognize. So that once they know when their intuition's speaking to them, they know how to listen to it or not, you know?
Yeah.
And that's huge. That's a big part of this particular book as well, is really teaching you the tools and the skill set. It's like a tool belt,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Our guest on this Chief for Yourself is Tori Hartman, author of Chakra Wisdom Oracle, How to Read the Cards for Yourself and Others. When I got the book and the cards, I opened the cards and I pulled one. I shuffled them, I pulled one, and I got an upright joy card, which really blew me away, because just hours before, I was having a conversation about joy versus happiness and how important I felt it was. And when I saw that, I thought, whoa, this is really wild. I mean, it's just something that can take you, I guess, in any direction. It doesn't necessarily...
It can.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Through your own...
And it validates, like you said, whoa, I was just having this conversation. And so what is that? Then we get to, what does that mean for you? Well, it means that whoa that you just said, like, whoa, that whoa is kind of like, you know, saying, wow, I am in alignment. I am on the right path. And it's a validation that you've just had this conversation and this shows up. So what that also means is if you take it deeper, right, if you go into the definition in the deck, I mean, in the bigger book, How to Read the Cards for Yourself and Others, you can go into the aspects of multigenerational healing, what it's telling you about, you know, ancestors. You can look at what the aspect for the chakra is. There's a lot of deeper work that's going on in that deck. However, you know, one of the things I say to people is that, you know, the joy card isn't necessarily a good card,
right,
any more than, you know,
mm-hmm.
than, I'm just trying to think, than, oh, God, what's the one? Hey, got two dogs that are, like, looking at each other, they're about to bark. Any more than, like, I'm trying to think of, I can't think of a card right now, but thinking of another card that would be, quote, negative,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because when we look at the joy card, sometimes I'll look at it and I'll say to somebody, you know, I love that these good things are happening for you, and are you experiencing them, or are you feeling disconnected from what's good in your life
yes.
right now?
Yes.
And they're like, oh, I am feeling disconnected. I'm struggling with the idea of how to deal with it. So then we go deeper and we can look at how to embody the joy inside. Because sometimes if you look at the fable, which that card is, it's the story of Dancing Daisy, but it's the fable that when we look at the story, we recognize that this is someone who brings other people joy, but may not be really experiencing it in their own life. So we look at that as well. You know, in other words, are you the traffic cop who gets everybody there safely and they go enjoy their picnic, but you're still out directing traffic?
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes in our lives we have to look at, oh, I see the role I'm playing. And so these cards really help you see also the role you've chosen to take on that may in fact be dictating your life experience. So those are just some thoughts, you know, and now random thoughts. Those are just some thoughts.
Deep thoughts.
Around that particular card, you know. And at the time of the taping, I want everybody to know, like, we've got so much change going on right in this moment. And we don't know, a lot of times, we don't know what the purpose of a turbulent time is until we get to the other side of it.
Hmm.
And, you know, I think that there's that famous quote of, circumstances don't make a man, they reveal him.
Yes.
And I think the thing that is happening more and more is that we have to look at how we relate to the issue with an issue. In other words, you're not going to get some future message about your life from some psychic. And don't take me wrong, everybody, because I'm a psychic, okay? But I personally, internally, where I come from, is I want my job to be obsolete. I really believe that everything's about your relationship with who you choose to call God. And ultimately, our key, our very life energy, is when we relate to everything in our atmosphere, however we relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment of this taping, everybody, we're looking at three hurricanes bearing down on Florida. And what we're really looking at is, oh my gosh, do you see how much turbulent energy the Americans, how much turbulent energy we've been putting out there in this last year?
Yes.
Think about it. Are you surprised that we've conjured these hurricanes?
Not at all.
And so, I mean, think about it. Think about how much, quote, resist, all that energy. And I'm not judging right or wrong. I'm just, because I know for me, when I go into upset, and I'm being up front with all of you, and you too, John, when I go into upset, my computers break down.
Mm-hmm.
It's upset because my energy, right?
It's not blame. It's not blame. It's just an attractor energy. You're bringing those things closer to you.
Right. So let me put it this way to you. When you've got hundreds of thousands of people in some kind of movement called resist, and there's anger on the internet screaming at each other, how dare you be a this supporter, or don't support that, or you're this, what do you think that energy is sending out to the universe? And I want you, everybody, just drop your shoulders and just become, and I talk about this in the book, your neutral observer. A neutral observer steps back and says, wow, that's interesting, I'm really angry. Okay. And the thing that happens is, and it doesn't mean that we have to deny it. This isn't about denial. I'm not processing you. It's about observing. Oh, that's interesting. I'm angry. And what we do with that anger now is we send it out to other people. Like, we bully people on Facebook and Twitter. We bully. I'm not saying that our president is right or wrong. Okay, I'm getting into that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying we bully each other based on what we think other people are. And we are creating this swirl of energy that has now created three hurricanes. And you can say to me, oh, no, it's not that, it's the atmosphere. But
no.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
If one person can manifest the love of their life, a new car, a fabulous life experience, healing their body. Can you imagine how much that energy, when it's focused on hating someone else or their beliefs, can you imagine what that's sending out to the universe, John?
Oh, amen. I mean, one person can do it and whole societies can do it. It's the same law.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so we have to look at, you know, oh my gosh, let it begin with me. It's in the Bible, kids. I mean, I don't need to call y'all kids, but it's in the Bible. I mean, and I'm not necessarily a big Bible person, but I have one. And the truth is, it says, let it begin with me. And on a daily basis, we have to look at how am I treating other people. You know, I question things. I question, you know, I have some friends on the internet who get very vitriolic about things. Oh, and they're spitting hate. And I said, well, are you sure it's that bad? Oh, then you don't know, then you must be against me. But no, I'm just looking at how we relate to the issue is the issue. And if you're in that level of upset, that means that upset was in you already.
Right.
Someone can't make you upset. It's in you and it stirs the upset. Otherwise, how can you explain certain things don't affect people at all?
Yeah. I guess it was Buddha who said pain is inevitable, suffering is optional.
Right.
Yeah.
And what do you think we're creating? We're creating immense suffering by boomeranging it back at us. I'm more about what's my energy doing.
Yeah.
I focus on what my energy is doing. And you have to remember, we created as a consciousness what's going on in the universe.
Hmm. In the book you mentioned great servant. Are you talking about God?
Yes. And the great servant, the way that story came about, and of course it is in the book, was that I was, and of course the whole story's in there, but I'll give you the Cliff Note version, which is that, we used to call it Monarch Notes, but it, just the short version of it is that after my near-death experience, I had angels come and tell me what I thought were ridiculous stories. Now, as I was a child, when I was a child, my mother told me from the time I was five, I had no command of the language, and she had to write my papers for me. So I never wrote a word in any of my school papers until she died when I was 15 and I failed English. And she dictated my papers to me, or she would be in upset if I didn't write down exactly what she said.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I'm telling all of this to you is because when the angels came and they dictated the fables to me, my personal wounding uniquely qualified me to take the dictation from the angels. Because if I didn't write it down the way my mother wanted it, she would fly into upset. And so I wrote down exactly word for word what the angels told me. So sometimes, and when the editor was cleaning up, you know, the book, she said, oh, well, we're going to abbreviate this, we're going to change this in the, you know, for the full fable, when the full fable was written out. She said, oh, we need to cut this down. I said, you can't, because that's how it was given to me. And she went, oh, okay. So the even because it went from American English to British English, she wanted to change apartment to mansion block, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there were little things like that. And I said, no, we've got to keep it as it was dictated. Now, the reason that's important is because later, when I moved to California from New York and I had these visitations from the great servant, I didn't know who this was channeling through me. It felt very powerful. But one day I asked him, who are you? What should I call you? And he said, I am. Mm-hmm. And I said, come on. And I was with a friend at the time, and we both knew what I am meant, thank God. And I said, but what do I call you? And he said, I am your servant. And I said, no, I'm not calling God my servant. That's ridiculous. I was like, no.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how about the great servant? And, you know, he just said, as you wish. And so he became the great servant. And I had channeled an entire book with his energy through to my friend. And after that time, and like I said, the story's in the book, but basically after that time, he showed up in some of the fables and some of the cards, and he brought forward the Council of the Great Spirits, which were the spirits that guide us. And so in the fables in themselves, that's kind of how that came together. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
So it had a life of its own. It had a life beyond me, or you know, it was just a little bit on its own, so to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just kind of like there was a way for things to go, and it just, you know, it just worked out on its own.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no better way to put it. And the what happened in this particular book, How to Read the Cards for Yourself and Others, John, is that there were 17 great spirits, including the great servant himself, and those, when I was directed to pull those cards out separately, I started to realize those were the cards of destiny in the deck. So in the original cards, when you get the card deck, the Chakra Wisdom Oracle cards, it comes with a small guidebook.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a toolkit which has the original fables in their full form, because the original fables were had to be cut down in the guidebook with the cards, because it would be too big a book otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And so that then became its own book of the toolkit. And then, of course, the How to Read the Cards for Yourself and Others was the third book, which goes even deeper into reading techniques.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that makes sense, but that's how that whole trajectory worked.
Yeah, it does. It's just a great compilation, a great explanation, too. My compliments on that. I'm going to ask you one more question here, and we've got to wrap it up. Now, you are intuitive, and I'm going to ask you what you, not as a prediction so much, but what kind of hit are you getting for, as we've already mentioned, a very troubled society? What do you see in the future, near future, distant future? What do you think?
Well, I think the thing is that when you say troubled society, in relation to what? Do you mean, are you talking about like the...
Well, the mass of people who are living in fear and scarcity, where are they going to go with this?
Well, I think that it goes... It's really interesting. I was joking with somebody the other day. I said, we've gotten to a point where we've gone from hieroglyphics back to hieroglyphics. I mean, well, the caveman had hieroglyphics, and now we're using them again in texting, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like...
That's
interesting. I think what we need to do... is we need to take ownership, you know. I think that it just, and I think the, okay, again, I have a puppy, everybody, so this is like, he's just decided this is his moment to play with me. So anyway, I think what I'm trying to say is that there is an ownership and a responsibility that if you are in upset, you matter, you count. And I think we're living in a time of marginalization of anyone who doesn't agree with, you know, with you, so to speak. If you don't agree with people, you get marginalized. And I think we have to realize, it's like Dr. King said, we may have arrived in different ships, but we're all in the same boat now.
Mm-hmm.
And we really have to own the idea that because we're all on the same boat, if you start hammering at the side of the boat, it's going to matter. And I think we need to stop trying to destroy our own ship. And the way to do that is to accept that while we're different, we all have one common cause, which is, you know, the peace, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I understand that people are living in fear, and yet it is a choice. And Lincoln told us that. So I think if we really go deep inside, we can recognize that we're all not that different. We just have a difference on how we're going to get there.
Your website is chakrawisdomoracle.com, and of course you can find out more.
No, it's actually Tori Hartman. It's ToriHartman.com.
Oh, you're
my name.
Okay, because I have both here. I was going to refer to both. But,
yeah, it's the Tori Hartman one.
Okay, mm-hmm. So we use that one, and the book is Chakra Wisdom yeah. Oracle, How to Read the Cards for Yourself and Others from Tori Hartman. Tori, thanks for being with us today and for your work in explaining what the cards are helping us learn. Book of cards, like I said, a beautiful set. All the best to you, and we'll be keeping tabs on your work, so feel free to come back and talk to us again.
Well, thank you, and I certainly will. I appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate
all of you. Thank you.
We'll have a link to Tori Hartman's website at chieforyourself.com, and a reminder, there are more great guests planned for future Chief for Yourself episodes. As always, you'll get any news almost as soon as I do through Genuline's blog post, so subscribe to Genuline's by leaving your email address in the box provided at the top of the page, and you'll be kept in the loop, and you'll be part of our community. Well, that's going to just about do it for today. Thanks very much for being with us, for the follows and the likes, too. Be well, and I'll talk to you soon.